Thank you, and thank you, ladies, for that music. Let's turn in our Bible, please, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And let me say once again that Louise and I have enjoyed being with you this month. You are very kind. Indeed, we thank you for your kindness, your hospitality, your generosity, your many expressions of Christian love. I can remember the first time that we visited Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel, not to speak, we were just passing through on our way to Spanish Wells, and we thought we would be very brave and try riding the Eleuthera Express for the experience of it. That was the old one, first and last time. And so we were here for the midweek meeting night, or maybe it was a Tuesday night. I think maybe you had two nights during the week at that time. And Bernard Fell was the speaker. And we met him then for the first time, and one other time. I'm so glad we did. And here now we have had the privilege of coming a number of times to Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel. We do thank you from our hearts. Continue to pray for us. We have a full schedule ahead. We will be at home for a while. I say at home, having services on the Lord's Day, Wednesday nights, Bible studies, otherwise a lot of visiting. So we value your prayers as we come to mind. Continue to pray for us. We will do the same for you. We were singing about walking in obedience to the Lord, trusting and obeying the Lord, and we sang, "Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet." Well, I want us to think about that word fellowship tonight. 1 John Chapter 1. Now, the Apostle John wrote his epistle to believers. He wrote his gospel, as he said, that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, they might have life through His name. So the gospel was written that people might be saved. Now he's writing to those who had trusted Christ, though they hadn't seen Him. You remember the Lord Jesus said to Thomas, "You have seen and do believe. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe." Well, John was writing to believers who had not seen Christ, as he and others had, and it's understandable that they would have some questions, maybe some doubts, and so John writes this epistle to such believers. And he says in verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 speaks about the communion or fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Trinity is involved. I was thinking of what the psalmist said in Psalm 115. You need not turn there, but I simply refer to that portion. The psalmist in 115 is contrasting the false gods, the idols of men's hands, with the one true and living God. He said, "But our God is in the heavens." Verse 4, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." And so on. And so he's contrasting these false gods, those of men's hands, with the one true and living God. Our God is life. And we who are saved are called into fellowship with the living God. Now, this is amazing. And I don't believe we find a grander truth in the Word of God that poor, hell-deserving sinners can be saved not only from a lost eternity, but to God, to fellowship, to communion with Him. Now, I want us to think, as I said, about this word fellowship. It is the Greek word koinonia. And we find it many times in the Bible. Though several different English words are used in the translation of that. You have heard me and others say before that one of the helpful tools in Bible study, particularly along this line, is the Englishman's Greek concordance. You can look up a particular word, such as this one that we are considering, fellowship. The strong number is 2842. You can look that word up and then go to the Englishman's Greek concordance, and it will show you wherever that word is found in the New Testament, regardless of the English word that is used in the translation. And without such a tool, you could find these words, but it will take you a lot longer. And so when we look up this word koinonia, and we trace it throughout the New Testament scriptures, we find that in some instances, it is translated, as it is here, fellowship. Acts 2 and 42, the believers continued steadfastly in fellowship, in koinonia. So sometimes, this English word, fellowship, is used in the translation. Some other times, the word contribution is used, such as Romans 15 and verse 26. Contribution. But there is the word koinonia. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, it is the word communion. When we believers remember our Lord in partaking of the elements, the bread and the wine, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, he speaks of the wine representing the blood. He speaks of that first. Is the cup not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is the bread not the communion of the body of Christ? So sometimes that word communion is used to translate koinonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, the word distribution is used. All right, so when we consider all of these words, we have a better understanding of what this word koinonia, rendered here fellowship, means. It basically means a relationship between individuals involving a common interest and a mutual participation in that interest. So with that very basic meaning, we have a better understanding. Fellowship. contribution, communion, distribution, a joint participation. Now, as we trace the root word out, we find that other English words are used so far as that root word is concerned, such as the word partakers. But here again, you see in that word the thought of a joint participation. Partakers. For example, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, speaks about believers being partakers of God's divine nature. In Luke chapter 5, we read about the disciples, those who were fishermen, as being partners. There's that root word. Partners in the fishing business. Hebrews 10:33, companions. But here again, a relationship between individuals involving a common interest and a mutual participation in that interest. And the catechism is correct. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It is wonderful indeed being in fellowship with Almighty God. God is a person. He is life. And we are made in the image and after the likeness of God. Now we were saying in the course of another message that before sin brought about such a contrast in this relationship between God and man. Before sin, the way man was made, being made in the image and after the likeness of God, God made man as a tripartite being consisting of body, soul, and spirit, which also includes a mind with which to think, a heart with which to love, a will with which to decide, to choose. And it was God and His creature in fellowship, mind to mind, heart to heart, and will to will. But that fellowship, that communion was broken because of sin. And now because of the person and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of faith in His blood, because of our reception of Him as Lord and Savior, we are brought back into communion with God, fellowship with God. Now, once again, it is mind to mind, heart to heart, and will to will. Sin did just the contrary. Man's mind became darkened that he could not think about spiritual things. His heart was defiled and degraded so that he could not love God. Will deadened so that he could not obey God. But now being in fellowship with God, being in communion with God, it's heart, mind to mind, heart to heart, and will to will. Wonderful indeed being in fellowship with God. We were saying this morning that because of our faith in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of being one with Christ, we are made near, made nigh to the very presence of God by the blood of Christ. In fact, we are so near God as believers that we see from the Word of God we are in His hand for security. We are on His shoulder for strength. This is pictured in the Old Testament with the great high priest, Exodus 28, as we see it in Hebrews chapter 9, in thinking of Christ as our great high priest. On His shoulder for strength. We're on His heart for love and affection. We're at His table for communion. We're at His feet for instruction and worship. And the Bible tells us that we are seated with Christ in the presence of God. That is our position. And so it is a wonderful thing to be called into fellowship with Almighty God and thus in fellowship with each other as believers. But I want you to look at 1 John once again as we consider the place of this fellowship. You see, John not only speaks about the possibility of this fellowship, but he speaks about the place of this fellowship. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And here's that word, fellowship. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, what is meant here by walking in the light as he is in the light? I believe it has to do not with degree, but with likeness. One old commentator said, we may be in the light as God is in the light for quality, but not for equality. We know in a coming day, and John tells us this in this same epistle, chapter 3, that there is coming that time when we are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We shall see him and be like him. Now, in being like him does not mean that we will possess the attributes of deity. We are God-like in Christ, that is true, but not so far as equality is concerned. And so John is speaking about the place wherein we walk. Now, some believers do not walk according to the light. But as believers, we walk in the light. I believe it was Vincent who said, light physically represents glory. Light intellectually represents truth. Light morally represents holiness. When we are saved, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are set apart. We become saints in Christ Jesus. We are set apart as belonging to God. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And so we are sanctified, set apart for God's use and for God's glory and for God's fellowship. And as such, we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. We are to walk in truth. We are to walk in holiness. This is the place of our fellowship. There was that time that we walked with a depraved nature. Of course, when we're saved, the old sinful nature is not eradicated. Some teach that. We do not believe that the old sinful nature is eradicated. We still have it. And well, we know it. But we walk only with that one nature, that depraved nature. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, we walked according to the course of this world. In that same chapter, Ephesians 2 and verse 2, he tells us that we walked in disobedience. And in Ephesians 5 and 8, he said, ye were sometimes darkness. That is, we walked in darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I remember back in March, I was at Man of War for several weeks, and I was taken down to Guanaquil, and while down there having lunch, we were with Bill Davis. And when we left, the place where we had lunch, some of us were walking. He and someone else was on a golf cart. And there were some muddy places in the roadway. And just as one in the party slipped and almost went down, Brother Bill said, see that you walk circumspectly. And someone had spoken about a cat walking on a wall. Wherein was a lot of glass. And that cat was walking circumspectly. Well, we are to walk that way as well. But we as believers are children of light. We are to walk in the light. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. We read in Proverbs chapter 4. But we walk in the light. And we are to walk humbly. Because in walking in fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to walk humbly because He humbled Himself. We have to walk obediently if we're going to walk in fellowship with Him, because as the perfect servant, He was obedient unto death. So the place of this fellowship is in the light. What is the atmosphere of this fellowship? Look at 1 John chapter 4. The atmosphere of this fellowship is love. It's love. We have been singing and thinking of God's love for us. But now listen, we are to love one another. While I was up in the apartment there, looking over this word that John uses, we ought to love one another. I looked at the concordance, and I saw this word debtor. Paul said, I am debtor to preach the gospel. This is Romans 1:14. I am debtor to the Greeks, to the barbarians. And that word debtor speaks of obligation, speaks of a debt. And we find that word several times in 1 John. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. Now here is the root word of that word debtor. We ought also to love one another. Back in chapter 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is an abiding obligation. In chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. What is the atmosphere of this fellowship into which we have been called as believers? The atmosphere is love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. But as we said earlier, there are some people who are not so lovely. How can we fulfill this obligation as Christians? We ought to love them. It's God working in our hearts. It is us humbling ourselves before the Lord with the desire, Lord, make what I read here real in my own heart and life. And may I manifest the love of Christ. And we will, as we are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And in chapter 4 of 1 John, the law of this fellowship is truth. This is expressed in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This is the law, truth. Not only doctrinal truth, but moral truth. Remember, we're walking in the light. Holiness. In truth. Not deceitful, but walking honestly with integrity of character. We walk in fellowship with one who is truth. And we're to be truthful with one another. What is the principle of this fellowship? 1 John chapter 5, the principle of this fellowship is faith. How were we saved? We were saved by faith. It was by faith we received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And some have used a little acrostic for this word faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Well, it's simply taking God at His word. By faith. Believing what God says. There was Paul in Acts chapter 27 on that ship bound for Rome. And the men were so fearful that they would lose their lives. And Paul stood in that ship and he said, I believe God. You know, the study of the titles, or maybe I should say the names or titles of believers throughout Scripture is rather interesting. Maybe we've considered them, or maybe someone else has had a study of them here at the chapel at one time or another. But one of the names or titles that we Christians have is believers. We are believers. What does that mean? It means we believe God. We stand upon the Word of God, and we walk by faith, not by sight. And the faith of believers expressed in three ways in 1 John chapter 5. In God, who is supreme and worthy of our trust. In Christ, who is the eternal Son. And that He is the eternal Son is witnessed to by God in three ways. The Spirit at His birth. The water at His baptism. And the blood at His crucifixion, when heaven acknowledged Him as the Son of God. It was said by someone in Egypt at the time of the crucifixion of Christ, when there was darkness over all the land. This comment was made, it seems as if a God has died. And indeed, that was true. It was the God-man who died. And so His eternal sonship was acknowledged at His crucifixion. And then thirdly, it is also seen in the infallibility of the Word of God. Four times over in this epistle, John speaks about what he has written. 1 John 1 and 4. He says, these things write we unto you that you may have fellowship with us. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. That we might be satisfied. In chapter 2 and verse 1 of this epistle, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Now keep in mind, he's writing to those who had not seen Christ. You know, we pointed out several years ago, there are basically two ways to believe. There is belief that is based upon sight. You know there's a Nassau, Bahamas, because you're here, you see it. Now, maybe you've never been to Tokyo, Japan, as I have not been to Tokyo, Japan. But we believe that there is a Tokyo just as strongly as we believe there's a Nassau, Bahamas. We've seen one, we haven't seen the other. At least some of us haven't. Thomas, you have seen. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. And so John is writing these things that these ones and we ourselves today might be assured of these things. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, a paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So these things are written that we might be sanctified, not only satisfied, but sanctified. And in chapter 2 in verse 26, he said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that ye might be secure. And then in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 13, he said, these things write we unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life, that you might be sure. And when we think about this fellowship with Almighty God, we're to keep in mind that this fellowship is with one another. When I first came, the first Sunday, a couple of names were called out at the Lord's Supper with the announcement that these two had received Christ as Savior and had expressed this desire to be in this local fellowship. You see, when we are saved, we are made to realize that we're in fellowship with God. And we realize we're in fellowship with other believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. But we see from the study of the Word of God that God desires that this fellowship be expressed in this local way. That is, here we have this local church. And this local church should be a testimony to this fellowship. It is a local expression of this fellowship. And this is what every local church is supposed to be. And really, when you get right down to the nitty-gritty of it, for this local expression of this fellowship to be right and true, there should not be anything about this local fellowship that would contradict the truth concerning the universal church. I remember some time ago, this was one particular incident that I'm thinking of, we elders had to make the decision to put someone away from this local fellowship. That is an unpleasant thing. But when one brings shame and reproach on the name of Christ, such a one is bringing shame and reproach on the fellowship as well. And so such a one has to be disciplined to whatever extent the wrong was committed. And so we had to make this announcement that this person was being put away from this fellowship. And in the course of a message at that time, I sought to challenge our hearts by asking, now, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we think about being in fellowship in this local church or expressing this universal fellowship in this local way, as we think of being together as partners, mind you, in this fellowship, because when we come into this fellowship, when we make it known that I believe this is where God wants me in a local fellowship to express what is true universally, and of course that is to be expressed in our individual lives. But just now I am speaking about the corporate testimony. When we make it known that we want to be in fellowship in this local church, we're to have understanding as to what it means. And if we're not instructing those who come into this fellowship, we should be instructing them. Because it means that as we partake of the bread and the wine, we're expressing the fact, I'm in fellowship with God. I'm in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in communion with His body, with His blood. And this fellowship is expressed by fellowship with other believers. And such a one should be walking in the light. And if one is not walking in the light and yet proclaiming that truth, then discipline is necessary. But I said to the others in the meeting at that time, you know, as we think about our joint participation in this fellowship, what contribution are we making to this local expression of this fellowship that would make it such that it would be discipline if we were deprived of it? You know, I don't say this to be cute and funny, dear people, but I believe in a lot of our meetings today there are people who have the attitude, I can't wait to get away. I believe some entertain the thinking I've been wanting to get away and go somewhere else for a long time. That is sad indeed. That is sad. This local fellowship should be such that if I were deprived of it, it would be a punishment to me. Our fellowship is one of life, light, and love. Now, there are many different aspects to this fellowship. We're fellow heirs in the family of God. Ephesians 3 and 6. We're fellow citizens on our way to our heavenly home. Ephesians 2, 19. We are fellow communicants in the worship of God, as we have touched upon 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are fellow laborers in the field of service for our Lord, Philippians 1, 27. We are fellow soldiers in the field of battle in this spiritual conflict, Philemon verse 2, Philemon verse 23. We are fellow givers in the support of the work of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 8 and 4. And so when we come into the local fellowship of a church like this, we are to come in with the understanding that I am one who is participating in a joint interest here. I'm a partner, if you please, in the things of God. I'm a fellow laborer with God. I'm in fellowship. And we should be committed to our blessed Lord and to this fellowship. And we should be making such contributions to this fellowship in many different ways to make it such that if we were deprived of it, it would be a terrible thing. It should drive us to the Lord to get right with the Lord that we be back in fellowship. In a local church like this. Brother Dennis McKinnon and I were talking. We were with several others last night, but we were talking about how wonderful it is to meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ with the person of our Lord, though we can't see Him, but gathered to Christ and to the ministry of the Word of God, and to enjoy the things of God together. But it seems that sometimes we are enduring our salvation rather than enjoying it. There was a time when we were saved, we were excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. We were excited about the ministry of the Word of God, excited about getting together as fellow believers and enjoying the things of God together. Now it seems to be drudgery. And so far as commitment to the Lord and to one another, the attitude oftentimes seems to be, yes, this is my home church, if you please. This is where I want to be. And I'm going to be here. And I'll help in some ways, as long as it doesn't interfere with anything else I want to do. Because I come first. My, it's wonderful being in fellowship with the Lord, isn't it? Let's turn to 380, is it? What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Yes, 380.